What a beautiful hymn. And certainly it goes right along with our lesson this morning when we talk about nearsighted Christians. Unusual title for a lesson. I encourage you to turn your Bibles to the passages as we get a good understanding of what we're trying to say. First one I would like for us to consider is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, a passage that we are very familiar with, where Peter here is saying that because that God has given his divine power to us in all things that pertain to life and godliness, and the fact that he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, but also for this reason, and this very reason, give all diligence. You know, that puts forth a thought in my mind that you have to work pretty hard at it. It's something that you have to be willing to do. You're willing to do it regardless of the obstacles that get in your way. You're willing to continue to pursue your faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, add to your faith virtue. And virtue there means courage. It means strength. And certainly that is important if you have faith. And especially as it was in the time of this writing, it was so very important that they have courage. It's understandable that not everybody agrees with what the Bible has to say. And so therefore you have to have great courage in order to stand for that faith and continue to show others the faith that Jesus taught. The next thing is, he says that you need to add to that virtue. You need to add to that virtue knowledge. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it'd be terrible if you had all this courage and you had this faith, but you didn't have the knowledge. So the knowledge has to be there. So that makes perfectly good sense as you continue to look at the things, the graces, that he says that we need to add to our to each individual grace. To the grace of knowledge, he says you need to add self-control. You know, enduring, persevering through everything is such an important thing. Balancing everything in your life. That's such an important part as well. Having that self-control. And to that self-control, you need to add perseverance. And that's such an important point there. There are going to be obstacles in the way, as I said in the beginning. And those obstacles get in the way. We have to be able to continue to persevere through them. And so therefore, such an important thing to add to self-control. And then to perseverance, we need to add godliness. Such an important point that he makes there in that regard, because we have to be godlike people. We have to set an example for others, so we have to have that kind of attitude. And then he says here, and the next thing that you need to add to that godliness is brotherly kindness. You know, brotherly kindness is brought out in several passages of Scripture in our Word of God. How important it is, our relationship to each other. It's a relationship that's more important than your family relationship, unless your family are members of the church. And then it's a great thing that each and every one of you have this special bond for each other. I think one of the worst things I've ever heard about a congregation of people is that the church split because they didn't get along. You know, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. It should never happen. And so their brotherly kindness plays an important role. It really does. And we're going to look at what John has to say in that regard about our relationship with our brother in Christ. And then the last point that he makes there, add to brotherly kindness love. Love for God, love for all human beings, to try to reach as many souls as we possibly can before we leave this earth to teach them about Jesus Christ. What an important point that is made there. Now, John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 9 through verse 11, he says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because darkness has blinded his eyes. Oh, how true it is. Then we go back to our text and we take a look at what Peter continues to say. And important for us to look at is verse 9. Verse 8, actually. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. All you've got to do is faithfully add these things to each grace that he says to add them to, and you'll be fruitful. What a good point. But now look at verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Oh, what a terrible place to be in. In verse 10, Peter says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Look what Peter is saying here. You know, each one of these things have to be added to what you need to have. And then that makes your faith so strong. You're able to go out and preach to others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I took some passages of scripture here that give us an idea of those who were children of God who were short-sighted or near-sighted, we should say. And I went first of all to Genesis chapter 25. And so if you'll turn your Bibles there to Genesis chapter 25. And I went there, first of all, because in this particular passage of Scripture, there's a lot of wrongs here. And one of the biggest wrongs here is this. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. That's a big wrong. When a mother and a father love a child more than they love the other child, that's not a good thing, and it never turns out to be a good thing. And it turned out to really be a bad thing. As we take a look here, in verse 29, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. Now look at this. Think about this. He's been out there laboring all day, and now he's tired, he's hungry, and he wants to be fed. And the smell of that red stew, I'm sure, was quite attractive. What a temptation. But what Esau did, because Jacob asked him to do it, was not really a smart thing to do. We find that Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know, the Hebrew writer has something to say about this. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verses 16 and 17, this is what the writer says. He says, Lest there be any fornicator or profane or treating something that is sacred with irreverence, person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward he wanted to inherit the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Back in Genesis there, we find that he was crying bitterly. He was weeping bitterly because he had done such a thing. But you know what Esau saw? He saw just what was in front of him. And that's what a lot of people do. They see what's in front of them. They don't look into the future. And he didn't. And that's the reason why we find that Esau, in this Old Testament example here in Genesis 25, was nearsighted. He just focused what was in front of him. You know, some people, when they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and after a certain length of time, all they see is what's in front of them. And they're falling away rapidly and quickly because they focus on the world, what's in front of them. Now, I got another example I'd like to share with you, found in Joshua chapter 7. And in this particular passage of Scripture, what we see here is several things. First of all, the children of Israel had defeated Jericho, brought those walls tumbling down. And, of course, they went to Ai, and they were certainly thinking that they were going to be able to do the same thing to defeat those in Ai. And, of course, when they got to Ai, they were stronger than they were, and they brought them down. They lost 36 men in Ai. 36 were killed in that war. Joshua was upset. Joshua was so upset that he tore his clothes and he fell to the ground. And he asked the Lord why this happened. And the Lord told him, he said, because there's sin in the camp. And so Joshua took every single tribe and he went one by one for every man in the tribe to find out where the sin came from. This is a man that was really focused on what was in front of him. We move down here to verse 22. And actually, I want to pick up at verse 21. Here's what Achan says. Achan is the man that had sinned. Finally, he got to him. He said, "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them, and I took them. And there they are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." Oh. Well, here's the confession of his sin. Here we see that he confesses his sin. But do you realize that what Achan did cost 36 men their lives? Not always the sin that we commit just affects us. It affects other people around us as well. And here 36 men lost their lives because Achan had done this thing. So Joshua in verse 22 sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Now look what he has done. He coveted these items. They weren't to take anything. And he coveted them. At that moment, Achan did not think about anybody but himself. He didn't think about his wife. He didn't think about his daughters. He didn't think about his sons. He didn't think about his tribe. All he was focused on was himself. And that's what happens so many times with people. When they fall away from the gospel of Christ, they get so involved in this world that they step out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All they see is what's in front of their face. And that's what Achan has done here. He has seen only what is in front of his face. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, all that he had, they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Wow. Look at what he lost. Look at what he gave up. Can you imagine that while he's being stoned, his wife is being stoned, his daughters are being stoned, and his sons are being stoned? Can you imagine what he must have been thinking at that point? What have I done? What have I done that I coveted this little stuff compared to everything I had? You know, that's what happens to some people who find themselves in the use of drugs. They lose everything that they own. And they even lose themselves. Yeah. Oh, how sad. Achan lost his children, his wife, and everything owned, and himself, because of his sin. Have you ever thought that maybe when he died there, that the Lord would not forgive him of his sins because it had been so bad with the children of Israel? Don't know. But what I do know is that probably he was very sorry for what he did. And it was too late. And oftentimes when people get caught up in drugs, it oftentimes is too late. They end up losing everything they've got. But these Old Testament examples are the very examples that Paul says we need to look at. He says we need to look at these examples. We need to learn from these examples. And that's what we intend to do. To look at these examples and to learn from these examples. Another example now that I would like to show you is found in Acts chapter 5. Here's a New Testament example that we have. And the two people that we're going to be looking at, we're familiar with, is Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, notice that other people were selling what they had and taking and giving it to the church so that they could take care of the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. They wanted to get involved with it too. And so they sold their land, and they were going to give that portion of what they sold that land for to the church so that they could continue to take care of the poor saints that were there at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 5, you can begin at verse 1, and it names all the people that are there. But what we want to focus on is verse 3. Ananias had gone to Peter and laid the money at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" Now I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice that Peter didn't ask him if he had. He told them he had. So what that tells me is they already knew how much the land was supposed to be sold for. Yeah. And so here Ananias sold it and then kept back part of it for himself. And Peter said, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own under your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Look what's taking place here. Ananias, because of his sin, because of his lying to God, died immediately. You know what I can safely assume here? That he didn't get the chance to repent. Yeah. So we find that about 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira, she decides she's going to go there, and she goes there. Peter does ask Sapphira that question. He asks his wife, he said, did you sell the land for so much? And in verse 8, she said, yes, so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look at the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. Wow. You know what Ananias and Sapphira saw? Just what was in front of them. The amount of money that their land sold for. They didn't see what could happen if they had kept back part of it. And as a result of it, they lost their lives. Oh, there's another example that I would like to share with you in Acts chapter 8. And this example that I would like to share with you is Simon the sorcerer. Read this passage so many, many times. And it's such a great passage of Scripture to show how important it is to always remain faithful. Oh, Simon was a sorcerer. He did witchcraft. And of course, he did that witchcraft and he had these people convinced that he had great power. The sleight of the hand. If you ever watch somebody who's able to do that, it is totally amazing, isn't it? The sleight of the hand, what they can do in such quick and you not even catch it. And some people sitting right beside them and said, hey, they did this and we didn't even see it. Yeah. But Simon was taught the gospel and he was obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he watched Peter and all the apostles that were there with him. He watched them do all these examples of laying on of hands, of healing, as well as giving the Holy Spirit, giving out gifts. They saw all this going on. And Simon said, hey, I want this kind of power. Give it to me. How much will it cost me? Oh. Peter was so angry. And here's what he said to him in verse 20. He said, your money perish with you, and because you thought that the gifts of God could be purchased with money, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, and for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart will be forgiven you. And you know what Simon should have done? He should have right then went to God in prayer and asked for forgiveness. But he didn't. Because he was scared. He said, for I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Yeah. Do you see how quick that happened? Do you see how easy it is for Satan to take and pull your focus off of the future and put it on the present? Yeah. And that's just what he does. He's as a lion. He is crouched about, and he's ready to pull you away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's going to use every opportunity that he possibly can to do it. And so here's what happens. We have these false teachers who go around and teach false doctrine. Doctrines that take and convince people that they can be saved without even being baptized. That they can have this wonderful salvation without ever doing what God tells them to do. That's what they tell them. Oh, and they tell them something else. They say, if you become a child of God, you'll be wealthy. All of a sudden, you're poor right now, but all of a sudden everything's going to change and you're going to start gaining wealth. That doesn't happen. Most of the people that believed that found out that wasn't true. Peter said this in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning here in verse 1. He said there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. They tell you, but the majority of people of the world don't know what to do with someone who's having problems. Because you can go to people of the world and talk to them about the things that you're having problems with, and they'll tell you things to do that God says no. And people do it. Because they're nearsighted. They just see what's in front of them. And that's what happens to so many people today. John went on to say something else here in 1 John chapter 2. And I'd like for you to turn there again, if you would. And I'd like for you to notice exactly what he had to say in verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2. He said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And he goes on to say, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Look at what he's saying here. He's saying you can't focus on that, because you know why? As a child of God, our future is a spiritual one. And we have to be focused on that future. Paul says he places his eyes on the mark. And that's what we have to do. We have to place our eyes on heaven. If we want to go to heaven, we've got to go down the right way. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. And we've got to do it just the way Jesus said to do it. It's so important. It's so important. And another point that I would like to consider is found in 2 Corinthians. I'd like for you to go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at here verses 1 through 4. I want you to notice what Paul writes here. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." But Paul said, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Look at what Paul is saying here about what they're doing. He's trying to encourage the brethren at Corinth not to go the ways of the world, not to listen to the God of this world. Oh, Satan is crafty as he can be. And at first, something he might tempt you to do may not look that bad. And it always leads to something much worse because Satan carries you further than you ever wanted to go. Yeah. Oh, how sad it is that so many people are so nearsighted. And they look at just what is in front of them. And they don't think about eternal life or eternal death. You talk to some religious doctrines, and some religious doctrine says, oh, there's no hell. If there's no hell, there's no heaven. Because both of them are mentioned in the Scriptures, and I certainly believe the Scriptures have to say is true. And when Christ comes, and we go through that judgment scene, He's going to divide the sheep from the lambs. And I'm going to tell you right now, those who are on the right side, heaven will be theirs, but those who are on the left side will be lost forever. If you're here this morning, and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, then you certainly need to get on the right side. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, be baptized, have your sins washed away, and rise up to walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and you've fallen away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, we also extend the invitation to you. Because it is God's desire that every single individual on the face of this earth be saved. And it's entirely up to you whether you accept His invitation or not. Can we help aid you as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?
While we pray and while we plead.